Have any of you seen the documentary film March of the Penguins? It is this visually stunning film, Oscar award-winning film. It tells the astonishing story of a group of penguins that live in the world's harshest conditions near the South Pole. And these penguins, just 3 feet tall, endure temperatures that dip below minus 70 and winds that reach over 100 kilometers per hour. Now, it's so warm in here tonight, some of you are like, I could take minus 70 right now. But one of the most inspiring parts of this film, compelling scenes in this film, is when they show the penguins caring for their young. Because the penguins have this way of, in the midst of these brutal conditions, they're being pelted with snow and ice day after day, week after week, for months on end. And yet in the midst of those brutal conditions, they have created a place of safety and security for their young. Their young sit on top of their feet, under their body, and in that place, they are safe and secure. One of the reasons I think this movie resonates so deeply with us is it's a story of vulnerability and of protective love. And it seems to me that sometimes we experience our world as a hostile, as a harsh, as an unforgiving place. And we feel a sense of vulnerability in that. As I was reflecting on this sermon, the leading news stories in one of the papers that it picked up was the aftermath of two more shootings in the U.S. And closer to home was a story of, get this, a 14-year-old boy who died of a drug overdose. His friends were with him, but instead of helping him, they videotaped it and posted it to social media. Wow. Really? Have you ever experienced this world as a harsh place, even a dangerous place? We don't even need to read the news. We just need to actually listen to the stories around us, the stories of our own lives. And as a pastor, I hear so many stories of people who are being pelted by the storms in their life, in their relationships, or at work. And like those vulnerable little baby penguins, we wonder, where are we going to find safety? Where are we going to find protection? Where can we, in this world, find a place of refuge where we are safe and secure? Well, this evening we're going to look at Psalm 91, which guides us to where we can find that refuge. I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word as we look at Psalm 91 together. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers, and he will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Pray with me. So, living God, as we come to your word, we are reminded that you look at our lives differently than we do. And this evening, we want to see our lives and the hardship that we endure. We want to see it from your perspective. Would you take these images and would you plant them deep in our souls so that we might see our lives differently? May we encounter you, living God, through your written word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, if you're just joining us, this summer we've been on a series through the Psalms, and we've been calling this the Summer Playlist because we've been reminded that the Psalms are actually songs. And I don't know about you, but if you've been on a road trip this summer, you know, one of the first things that you do is you put together your playlist. And you know those songs, you get into them, and then they get into you. And you start singing them, and you remember the lyrics. These were the songs that actually shaped Jesus. These were the songs that shaped God's people throughout the centuries. And so this morning we're going to press play on Psalm 91 to see what it might offer us. And the Psalms are the full range of human emotion, meeting the full scope of God's love and character. And where those two meet is where we're going to explore tonight in this song of protection. And as we explore over these minutes together, when it comes to protection, I think there's three questions that I want to explore with you. The first is, why? Why do we need protection? And the second is, where do we find it? Where does the psalmist say we're going to find a refuge? And third, how do we experience it? How do we actually live it such that, as the psalmist says, we will find rest? We will be at peace. So let's explore these in turn. First, when it comes to protection, why do we need it? Now, maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jade, protection, I mean, that's a nice, comforting notion, but I'm not an anxious person. I'm not a fearful person, so I don't really need protection in my life. I was thinking about me being a very non-anxious person. I'm pretty chill. Most people think my personality is very laid back. I remember as a young person thinking that the problem with my parents, the problem with my grandparents and my teachers, the problem with most adults is they just worry too much. Anyone ever feel that way? They're just worried about things. And I thought, you know, as a young person, I thought, I know bad stuff happens in the world, but not to me and to my friends. But it's interesting how time changes things. Now that I've gotten older, almost approaching my 30s myself, how my perspective has changed. Because, you know what, life happens. And in my own family, among my peers, things happen like someone loses a job. And another friend experiences a dramatic financial reversal in their lives, and they lose their home. And then my friends lose their parents, and we lose a friend. And one of my colleagues experiences a bitter betrayal in their lives, and it impacts me. And then maybe most of all in my own life, the people around me receive a very unwelcome diagnosis. And they feel like it hijacks their future and their future plans and dreams. And suddenly I don't feel so insulated from the brokenness of the world, and I too feel vulnerable. And you know what? No amount of money or success can insulate us from the problems in life, from hardship, from pain. And so we find ourselves saying, where do I turn? Where is my place of protection, my refuge? And the psalmist asked these very questions in this psalm. Listen to some of the threats that the psalmist acknowledges. First, the physical threats. In verse 5, he said there are arrows that fly during the day. Of course, in the ancient world, there was always the threat that a neighbor, an enemy, enemy nation would attack. He's saying, it feels like arrows are flying at me. Friends, have you ever felt under attack? Like somebody shooting arrows at you, your boss, or a colleague, or a competitor? And then later in verse 5, the psalmist says, talks about terrors of night. This is a euphemism for saying, these are the things that I think about and I worry about when my head hits the pillow. These things keep me from sleeping. Anybody ever had any anxieties keep you from resting? How about verse 6? Listen to this frightening image. The psalmist talks about disease that stalks in the darkness. He doesn't see it coming. Nobody sees it coming. It stalks quietly in the darkness. There are so many things that can befall you physically. The psalmist recognizes the need to find a place of refuge, of safety, of security. We all need a refuge. Your refuge is the place that you go to in times of trouble, when you feel under attack. Your refuge is the thing that you turn to when you're overwhelmed, when you're stressed, when life throws you a curveball. When you're in pain and need comfort, you go to a place of refuge. We all have a refuge. Did you know that? You can make a refuge out of almost anything. You can try to numb the pain in your life and turn to alcohol as your refuge. Or you can turn to entertainment. Anybody ever feel like Netflix was your refuge after a really bad day? Shopping. My Visa card is my refuge. It just makes me feel better. Food can be our refuge. It's the place we turn to in trouble. What is your refuge? Some people, when things aren't going well, they work harder. Because they believe that if they are successful and they have more money, they have more control. And they feel like that will insulate them from pain in their lives. It seems to me that this is one of the most important questions we can ask in this psalm is, where do I turn in times of trouble? What is your refuge? Richard Rohr, the renowned spiritual writer, said that spirituality is about what you do with your pain. I think what he was saying is you can find out a lot about a person's spiritual life by seeing what they turn to in times of pain. What is your refuge? Sometimes when I'm stressed and overwhelmed, I think of a refuge as a kind of escape. Sometimes on a week that's not going so well, my mind goes to a certain place, far away. Let me describe it for you. This place is, first of all, has a nice white sandy beach. And the sun is shining, and there's water in the background. And there's a nice cold drink in my hand. And I'm just kind of zoning out and dreaming of this place that has, you know, no emails and no deadlines and no bills. A place where there's no storm at all. That's sometimes my refuge. And it's funny how when I'm in that place, a few minutes later on my browser, a Google ad will pop up for like a resort in Mexico. 5-star. I'm like, I don't know how Google knows that. But part of me is like, okay, talk to me, Google. I'm listening. This sounds pretty good right now. And yet, the refuge that the psalmist talks about is not an escape. It's not a numbing of our pain, but Here's what the psalmist is saying is he has found a refuge, a place of safety in the middle of the storm. Not removed from, but right in the middle of the worst conditions, like at the South Pole in a storm, the psalmist has said, I have found a place of safety and security. So let's turn there now. Let's look at this second movement of where do we find a refuge? Where do we find protection? And here's what the psalmist declares. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. He's in the middle of the storm, and yet he's saying, I found my refuge in God. And the rest of the psalm, he unpacks the way in which God protects and delivers him from everything that could take him down. And some commentators point out there's really strong, words used in that would be attributed to the fatherly love and protection of God. Words that have this military overtone, like fortress and shield and power and strength, reminding us that God is like a strong father who protects us. But then in one of the most beautiful images in the whole psalm, there's a motherly image for God. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. There's a sense of tenderness, of affection. Friends, this is such an important image that if we can remember in times of hardship that the Bible is describing us like that little vulnerable baby chick, and God is protecting and covering us, and we find safety and security there. That image alone, if we can get that in us, will change us. It will shape how we approach hardship. And then listen to some of the other verbs, some of the other phrases the psalmist used. Verse 3, that God rescues you from every trap. From every place you're stuck or feel stuck, God is the one who gets you unstuck. Anyone ever feel stuck? Anyone here tonight feel stuck in your life? Verses 3 and then in 10, he will protect you from deadly diseases. No plague will come near your home. Isn't that reassuring that what God is promising? In verse 6, no disaster or accident will strike you. Verse 13, you, when you've found your refuge in God, will trample on lions and cobras. You will crush them under your feet. Lions and cobras were symbols for the powers of darkness. And here's what the psalmist is saying. When God is your refuge, you don't need to fear anything. You don't need to be worried about the forces of darkness in the world. God is your refuge, and therefore you are protected and secure. In other words, everything that could plague you emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, every kind of ill that might befall you, you are protected from. Astounding promises in Psalm 91. And maybe some of you here tonight can recall an incident in your life where you sense that you were protected by God. You look back at that incident now and you say, that was close. And I just sense that God was watching over me in that moment. This week I was thinking about a situation in our home. A few years ago, my sons were on their way to school, elementary school, and they decided to ride their bikes that day. And after about 5 minutes after they left, I understand they had this conversation where my eldest Josh asked my youngest Ethan, hey, you want to ride on the street or on the sidewalk? And Ethan said, let's ride on the sidewalk because it's safer. Well, 5 minutes into their ride, I get this call from Josh who says, Dad, Ethan's been hit by a car. I just remember the sense of shock and terror that came over me. And I didn't even let Josh finish the conversation. I remember just instinctively running out of my house without shoes on, down the back alley, tracing the path that I thought they would take to their school. And what had happened is that Ethan, my youngest son, was riding his bike along the sidewalk, and a car came out of an alleyway, and there was this big fence on the corner, so they couldn't see each other. And as Ethan crossed in front, this car came, screeched on its brakes, and stopped almost before Ethan and literally just tapped him. And he basically fell over on his bike. And I got there and I said, "Josh, you could have explained the situation a little more here." But I remember looking at their faces, the shock and the fear on their faces, and the fear mostly in the driver's face, and just saying, "Thank God. Thank you for your protective care over my boys." Verse 11, "He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." Have you experienced God's protection in your life? Now, maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, okay, I believe these promises. I see where you're going, but wait. God doesn't always protect us. I mean, people still get hit sometimes, and accidents happen, and people get sick, and people die. I like the promises in Psalm 91, but I'm not sure what to do with them. How are we to make sense of this? And maybe this reaches a pinnacle in verse 13, where it says, "The angels will hold up their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." In other words, you won't, if God is your refuge, you won't even stub your toe. You know what the modern translation of this is? If Psalm 91 was written today, it would say that the angels will hold up their hands so that you will never step on a piece of Lego. Have any of you ever stepped on a piece of Lego? Okay, I know that I've been told that the most painful experience somebody can go through is childbirth. And I have no way of really verifying that personally, but I have stepped on a piece of Lego. It has to be a close second. Does this mean, friends, that if you stub your toe, if you step on a piece of Lego, if you get sick, if you experience hardship, that somehow you are not making God your refuge? Friends, that is not the story of the Scripture. That is not consistent with what the Bible tells us over and over again. And I think a key to understanding this psalm is found in verse 15. Where it says about God's protection, "I will be with them in trouble." Here's what God is telling you is, "I will be with you in the midst of whatever you are going through." Like a mother bird who never abandons her own, God's promise over and over and over again is that he is with us. And by experience, we know that sometimes God delivers us from trouble, and sometimes God delivers us through the trouble. Sometimes God delivers us out of a storm, and sometimes he delivers us through a storm. Friends, we know that God is not a helicopter parent who every time you're about to scrape your knee intervenes and says, "Oh, I just want your life to be pain-free." We know that sometimes God allows us to experience hardship because it strengthens us. And friends, if you are going through a storm in your life where you, like those penguins, feel like you are just being pelted over and over and over again, the temptation is to believe that God has abandoned you, that God is punishing you, that God is mad at you. But friends, I'm here to tell you that that is not the God of the Bible. That God's promise to you is that he is that mother bird that will never abandon you. And that whatever you might experience is never outside of his loving protection, his attention upon you? Why do we experience affliction in our lives? Well, we could do a whole sermon series on that, but listen to what renowned British journalist Malcolm Muggeridge said. He said, after 75 years of life, I look back on experiences that seem desolating and painful with satisfaction. Because he says, I can honestly say that everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my existence has been through affliction and not through happiness. Nothing that you encounter, friends, is outside of God's loving care and protection for you. This week I was reading a story. I hadn't read this before. I think it's probably well known. It's by a man named Steve Saint. Steve experienced tremendous pain in his life because his father, a missionary named Nate, traveled to Africa, I believe it was back in the 50s, and he began to make friends with a local community there. And things seemed to be going well, but unfortunately, things turned very bad very quickly. And this group of people, of locals, grew very hostile and actually ended up killing Steve's father, Nate, and a whole group of missionaries. And in the devastation, the aftermath, there were so many questions for the families and those involved. They were doing God's work. They were doing something good. They were sharing God's love with others. And in time, Steve began to wonder if he could make some contact with the people who actually killed his father. And there seemed to be an air of openness. And so he began to pursue relationship and connection. And one day he actually met the man who killed his father. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And over a series of conversations, Steve actually led his father's murderer to Christ and baptized him. And people were troubled by this, and they're saying, after all that's happened, I mean, how can you do that? How can you make sense of this horrible loss in your life? Is this just a silver lining on a bad thing, on a bad event? And Steve relayed something I thought that was very helpful. He said, why do we insist that every chapter in our story be good, when God promises that in the last chapter, he will make all the other chapters make sense? Why do we insist in the story of our lives that every page be good and pain-free? Because that's not what God has promised. God has promised that the end of our story will be good. That the end of our story will be so good beyond our imagination that as we look back over our lives, all the other chapters will make sense. So friends, Psalm 91 is this invitation to lean in and believe that God will do this with our stories in eternity. Psalm 91 says you can rest in the goodness of God, knowing that he is your refuge and your protector. Well, let me conclude by talking about how do we experience this? How does this actually affect us emotionally? The psalmist says, when you live in the shelter of the Most High, you will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. When you're in the midst of the storm, but God is your refuge, you'll not be filled with anxiety, but your heart will be at peace in the middle of the storm. How do we do this? What might be a couple takeaways? Well, there's two words I think that the psalmist encourages us to do. The first is the word call. Verse 15, when they call on me, I will answer. I will rescue them. Friends, if you are in the middle of a storm tonight, I think what the psalmist is saying is that the best thing that you can do is to call upon the Lord, to pray your fears, to pray your anxieties, to pray all of those things that are bothering you, that you don't understand, that you pray them, you acknowledge them to God. You know how you make God your refuge is you go to God first instead of last. Do you ever find that when you encounter a problem in life, you try everything else before going to God in prayer? Like you're on Google researching things, how do I solve this problem? One of the ways we demonstrate that God is our refuge is we turn to God first instead of last. And we say, here's what's going on in my life, and God, I believe you are my refuge, and so I turn to you, God, and ask you for help. And we not only call upon Christ, but we call upon the body of Christ. That's us. Did you know that you were never meant to go through hardship alone, but that you are called to acknowledge your needs in community? Those of you who have seen the movie March of the Penguins will remember this scene where in the middle of the storm, the penguins do not stand isolated, but they all huddle up together. It's like they're sharing every ounce of body warmth together in that harsh place. And that's a great picture of what we're called to as a community. Are you vulnerable with people in your soul trio, in your life group? Do you have friends that you can reach out to and say, pray for me in the midst of this? I want God to be my refuge. And finally, the other thing other than call is this wonderful word at the beginning of Psalm 91, another takeaway, is dwell. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Friends, when you encounter difficulty and storms and stress, you can dwell in that stress. You can dwell in those threats. You can dwell in that fear. You can live there emotionally. Or you can come to a place of saying, God, you are my true refuge. You are this strong mother bird that covers me and protects me. And I'm going to rest in that knowledge. I'm going to dwell in the knowledge that you are good, that you haven't abandoned me, and you are my refuge. I'm safe there. And so I'm not going to dwell in fear, but I'm going to dwell in your goodness and in your love. Friends, I think we're called to dwell in the place of remembering who Jesus is for us. And one day, Jesus picks up this image, and he looks out to a crowd, and he says, oh, how I long to gather you as my people, like a hen gathers her chicks. How I long to gather you, this image of a mother bird spreading her wings over. And then what else do we see in the New Testament? That Jesus goes to the cross, and get the imagery, he opens his arms as a symbol of protective love. And that he is our ultimate refuge. He takes upon himself all of the curses and humiliation and shame and judgment upon himself so that we might be rescued from it, so that we might be saved. Jesus on the cross is our ultimate refuge. Stories told of a severe hailstorm that comes upon this town, and for an hour or so, rain is falling, and then it starts to hail. If you've ever been in a hailstorm, and there's huge hail that is falling from the sky, golf ball-sized hails that is just pelting this town. And after the storm is over, this man walks out onto the deck of his house, and he surveys the damage. And he sees that his car is just full of dents from all the hail. And he sees that his vegetable garden is pretty much destroyed, and his flowers have been pelted. And he's surveying all this damage, and he looks over his deck, and he sees a branch on a tree. And it's a heartbreaking sight, because he sees a bird with its wings stretched out, and it is motionless. And he knows that that bird has succumbed to injuries from that hail. It's just been hit too many times. And he thinks to himself, I better do something because my kids will see that and it'll be really distressing for them. So he gets a ladder and he goes to remove the body of this bird. And as he does so, to his surprise, he sees under those wings three little chicks alive. And he realizes that this mother bird has paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. Not leaving the chicks for her own safety, but remaining in that place and giving her life for her young. And friends, this is who God is for us. This is who Jesus is for us. At the cross, he endures it all. He takes the worst beating of all to protect us. And friends, when you realize the extent that God has gone to protect you, to rescue you, it puts your heart at rest. That whatever storm you're in, you're saying, if that's what God has done for me, then I am safe. Then I am secure under his covering. He is my refuge. Let's pray together. So Jesus, this evening we acknowledge that we do have a refuge in our lives. And we admit, we confess that it is often not you. It's often other things that we turn to. And friends, let me just invite you to take a moment to acknowledge, to reflect on what is your current refuge? Where do you go for safety, for security, for a sense of comfort or relief? And just name that before the Lord. So, Lord, as we reflect on this psalm, rising up within us is this heart's cry. God, we want to find our refuge in you. And so, Lord, I pray across this congregation, this community right now, for those who are in the midst of a storm, that you would reveal yourself to my brothers and sisters who need a refuge tonight. For those who are just being pelted in their lives, may they find you as a refuge. God, may you reveal your strength. May you be our one true refuge, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.